You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alan A. Craig speaking, and we welcome you to this another Way of Truth broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank you today for the privilege we have of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people. We are thankful for everyone who has tuned our way, and we're asking that the precious Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast, will encourage hearts, will bless souls, and get honor and glory to yourself through our efforts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a difference it makes when the Lord comes into your heart and into your life. At this point in our broadcast, we would like to invite you to visit our webpage. There you may find a number of our broadcasts and also our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And if you will go to our webpage at 20 minutes to 11 on Sunday morning, Eastern Time, also 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday, you can join us in our regular church services. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. We'd also like to say that we appreciate those who let us know that our broadcast is a blessing. From Louisiana, dear Brother Alvin, just a few lines to let you know how much I have been enjoying your wonderful messages on Sunday morning, especially the one last Sunday. When you know the truth, love the truth, and live the truth, the blessings is even much greater. And then from Arkansas, dear Brother Craig and Saints, I enjoy the Way of Truth broadcast over KMTL. Also, I'm so thankful we can still receive the truth over the airways and through the mail. So we would be happy if you'd take time to let us know that our broadcast is a blessing to you, and we'll be giving you our mailing address at the close of our broadcast today.
One like a bird in prison.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Be Transformed. And our text of scripture is taken out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. On the broadcast today, I'd like for you to consider with me these thoughts. Number one, what does it mean to be transformed? Number two, what is the goal of transformation? Number three, what should motivate us to undergo transformation? And number four, what does one do in order to experience transformation? Now, the definition of transformation, to change into another form. In the New Testament, this word is used to describe what happened to the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you are familiar with the scriptures, you remember that Jesus took three, Peter, James, and John, up on the Mount with him, and there he was transformed, and he shone very brightly. And Moses and Elijah came and talked with him. And that mount became known as the Mount of Transfiguration because Jesus was so miraculously changed in appearance. Now, what happens to a person when they become a Christian? According to Vine's Biblical Dictionary, to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. And I'd like to read Vine's explanation again in regard to transformation. To undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and in conduct. Now, we read in the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 5 and 17, therefore, if any man become a new creature, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So whenever you are in Christ, when you become a Christian, then you are transformed. You become a new creature. The goal of transformation is to become like Christ. Yes, to become like Christ. Now, don't think that that is impossible, for the Scriptures tell us that we are to walk as He walked. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, not because out of respect, but of mockery. And the reason they were first called Christians was because that they were living Christ-like. So the goal of transformation is to become like Christ. According to the Apostle Paul, it is God's will for us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. So we read in Romans 8 and 29, yes, Paul said that God's will is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, the goal of transformation is to become like Christ and to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the goal of Christian living, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So Paul wrote to the church at Colossia. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And so we see from these two verses of Scripture that we are not to live the same kind of a life that we lived before. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And of course, that's talking about becoming like Christ, in the image of Christ. To live like Christ, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let us refer again to our text of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we are to be transformed so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the goal of transformation is to become like Christ. Like to live like Christ, that we may prove what is the will of God, and let our light shine before the world, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, the motivation for transformation, the mercies of God. Yes, it is the mercies of God. What mercies of God had Paul discussed earlier in this epistle? Well, let us look back in Romans chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul there speaks about freedom from sin. And freedom from sin is indeed a manifestation of God's mercies. And then in Romans 6 and 23, the gift of eternal life. Paul said there, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 1 that we're being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also in the second verse of Romans 5, Paul tells us that we have access into the grace of God wherein we stand. And then in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul speaks about saved from the wrath of God. Yes, in Christ, being transformed, being a child of God, patterning our life after Christ, then we are saved from the wrath to come. And so Paul said, the mercies of God, that's the motivation for transformation. Freedom from sin, gift of eternal life, peace with God, access to the grace of God, saved from the wrath of God. The love of Christ, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Yes, the love of Christ constraineth us. There's a lot of evil, wickedness, and ungodliness in the world today. How much hatred and how much malice there is in the world today. But whenever a person has been transformed and they are really and truly a disciple of Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And love replaces hatred and malice into any heart, into every heart in which the love of God is allowed to enter. There will be no place for hatred or malice or strife or evil. So we have, through the grace of God, through the mercies of God, we have the love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It's not that we have to do this or we have to do that. Some people get the idea when they listen to you preaching the gospel and setting forth the standard of God's word that we're saying that you have to do this and you have to do that. I don't believe in that kind of Christianity. I believe that whenever you are truly saved, when you are truly born of the Spirit of God and God puts his love in your heart, you delight in doing the will of God. I'm not saying now that there won't be trials and tests and temptations. No, but we love God and we serve God because we do love God. There's no one forcing me to be a Christian. And if you are a Christian today, no one is forcing you to be a Christian. It is the love of God that constrains us. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I've said many times, only those who really and truly love God are serving God. No one can make you become a Christian. No one can force you to become a Christian. And if a person who is a Christian tries to force someone, they're making a very serious mistake. You cannot cram religion down people's throat. And I don't like that word religion, but anyway, you can't cram religion down people's throat. Whenever a person becomes a Christian, they become a Christian because they want to depart a life of sin. They want to surrender their heart and their life over to him. And so it is the love of Christ that constrains us. It's the love of Christ that enables us and creates in our heart a desire to do those things which are pleasing and acceptable in the will of God. Now we read in Paul's writings to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, beloved, it is the love of God that constrains us. It is the love of God that drew us. It is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And so, Paul said, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think you'll also find these words in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And so it is the love of God in our hearts. And when Christ loved us so much that he gave himself for us, as Paul brings out here, that who gave himself for us because he loved us, when we see that he loved us so much, why should we find it hard to love him? Beloved, Jesus loved us so much that he gave his very life for us. Then why should we not love him enough to serve him? Why should we not love him enough to obey him? Because his commandments are not grievous. No, his commandments are right. His commandments are for our good. It is the way of evil. It is the way of sin that is so detrimental and harmful to the family of man. God's way is just. God's way is right. God's way is the way of love. God's way is the way of eternal life. the only alternative to God's way and the only alternative to being transformed is being conformed. Again, referring to our text, the second verse especially, and be not conformed to this world. The only alternative to not being transformed is to be conformed. You're either going to be transformed, become a new creature in Christ, live for Christ because you love Him and you desire to please Him, or else you are going to conform to this world. And if you conform to this world, it means that you are going to travel the broad road that leads to eternal destruction and damnation. So the only alternative to being transformed is being conformed to this world. And Paul says, we are not to be conformed to this world, but that we are to be transformed. Now, the process of transformation. The transformation is to change into another form. But we cannot change ourselves by our own strength. No, we cannot change. The Bible speaks about a leopard cannot change his spots. In other words, a sinner cannot save himself. He can make some resolutions, and he may quit certain habits, but he cannot really transform himself. Transformation is to change into another form, but we cannot, I say, change ourselves by our own strength. Paul shows us that in Romans 7. There in Romans 7, and I know a lot of people want to speak of this as being Paul's experience as a Christian, but it is absolutely not. Paul is not referring to himself as a Christian here in Romans chapter 7 when he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul was not talking about his experience as a Christian. He was talking about himself as a church member, a Pharisee who knew the law and did not have the power that he needed to obey it. And he knew what he should not do, but he did not have the power to keep from doing it. And so Paul shows us here what it means, really, to be transformed. And after he said about, O wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He goes on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, that is, while he was living after the flesh, then he served the law of sin. There is therefore, Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so Paul here shows us how and what it really means to be transformed. He gives us the pattern, the process by which we are to be conformed or transformed. We must submit ourselves to God and let God work in us. If any man be in Christ, again, he is a new creature. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. No, salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we come back to the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus when he said, you must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So whenever you have been born again of God, become a child of God, transformed, then you want to live according to the way the Lord Jesus lived and the example that he has set before us. Now, by our minds, we are to be renewed. Yes, we are to have a renewed mind. We experience a true transformation. Therefore, our minds are to be renewed. Our minds are changed. Our heart is changed. Our desire is changed. Our lifestyle is changed. Again, going back to Vine's definition in regard to what transformation means, he said there in that explanation, to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and in conduct. So whenever the heart is changed, the life is going to be changed. The inside is going to be changed. The outside is going to be changed. No, I am not teaching that salvation is enclosed, but I do teach and I do believe that whenever the heart is changed, it's going to change the outside as well as the inside. So we are to be renewed in our minds, and we are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have been called to be transformed, that is, to be changed into the image of Christ. We have the opportunity to start anew by being born again. This is possible through the love of God in giving his only begotten Son to be our Savior and Lord. Have you been transformed? Have you been born again? Have you really taken on Christ? If not, could I encourage you to seek him today with all of your heart? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has conveyed it to hearts. Good will be accomplished. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a privilege to share with you the Way of Truth broadcast from week to week, and we do trust that it is being a blessing to you. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we trust that you'll feel free to send it in when you write us. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts anytime, day or night, on our webpage. You can also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on the webpage. If you do not have access to the internet and would like a printed copy of our magazine, we invite you to write us. Provide us with your name and address. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
Once I was
lamb's glad as